The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. There is no greater community builder than adoption. Welcome to Your Adoption Coach with host Kelly Ellison. If you are starting an adoption or just thinking about it, or maybe someone you know is going through an adoption and you want to help, please stay tuned over the next hour as we will educate and inspire you with some real stories and information about resources that can help. Now, here is your host, Kelly Ellison.
Thanks so much for joining us. We are back. Spring is officially in swing. I can't tell you how excited I am about that. More than just doing the show every week, I've been watching the weather and being very disappointed about a lot of the snow that we have. I'm one of those kind of people that loves winter, and I also love snow, but this year kind of put me over the top, to be honest. So I hope that most of you are enjoying seeing spring out. And we're excited that finally spring and summer are on their way, and I'm sure many of you are feeling the same way. Last week, if you joined us, you met with us and talked to Tom DiFilippo, who is the CEO and president for the Joint Council on International Children's Services. Tom is one of the foremost authorities on international adoption, and he has led this organization, the Joint Council, on their mission to advance the overall well-being of vulnerable children and their right to live in permanent family care. Now, this is in Tom's own words. He said, "We bring hope to children who are living without families." It was a really great interview. This was the second time that Tom was on the show. And during this particular interview, we explored some of the issues related to international adoption, as well as the Joint Council's 38th Annual Symposium in San Francisco, scheduled for April 7th through the 9th. To get more information about that symposium, how you might attend, it is suitable for parents, adoptive parents, adoption professionals. You can reach out to them at jointcouncil.org. That's jointcouncil.org. Excited today. We're doing a whole series of shows around various different featured speakers who will be at the symposium this year. Your Adoption Finance Coach is one of the sponsors of the symposium this year. And so we are helping to promote the conference by having a number of different speakers and guests on the show this week and in the coming week, so that you can learn about what some of the content is and maybe be interested enough to join us in San Francisco. So we're going to jump in. We have Dr. Elaine Schulte. Dr. Schulte is the chair of the Department of General Pediatrics and medical director of the International Adoption Program in Cleveland at Cleveland Clinic Children's Hospital. She joins us today to discuss international adoption of an older child. Dr. Schulte has worked with internationally adopted children and their families since 1995. She maintains an active clinical practice with specific interests in international adoption, learning disabilities, ADD and ADHD, lead poisoning, immunizations, and residency education. The International Adoption Program includes pre-adoption consultation through E-Cleveland Clinic, travel support, post-adoption screening, ongoing primary care, and a multidisciplinary clinic for development and behavior evaluations, as well as learning needs. Dr. Schulte is an active member of the Joint Council on International Children's Services and the American Academy of Pediatrics Executive Committee of the Council on Foster Care, Adoption, and Kinship Care, and the Committees on Early Childhood Education. She's given numerous national and regional presentations and workshops on international adoption, including being a speaker this year at the upcoming JCICS Symposium in San Francisco, as we mentioned. She is also the parent parent of two adopted daughters from China. Yay. Thank you for being here, Dr. Schulte.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
I always love reading that last part, two adopted daughters from China. So we're kindred spirits. I was sharing with you before we went on the air that my daughter is from China. So tell me, I always like to have folks share sort of their personal story about your personal connection to adoption. So tell us about your daughters.
Sure. So my daughters are 16 and 17 years old, living that great teenage life. And ironically, both the girls are from Anhui province. And my older daughter was adopted when she was 14 months of age. And my younger daughter was adopted when she was 9 months of age. And they are approximately 12 months apart and were born just about 100 miles apart from each other, ironically, but they are not blood siblings.
Okay. Okay. And so how have you found the teenage years to be with your daughters in terms of issues that come up because of their beginnings or not? Have you found that to be true?
Yeah, well, you know, it's really fascinating, you know, and as a pediatrician who's cared for thousands of these kids over the years, you can never predict which child is going to have an interest in their adoption history and which ones aren't. And, you know, in the house, I have one child who is very interested in her adoption history and would love to meet her birth parents and love to know if she had siblings. And my other daughter really could care less, and she asks nothing about it. We traveled to China in 2011, and we were able to go inside my older daughter's orphanage and meet some of the children. And I had a wonderful experience where at the end of our couple of hours there, I pulled out a picture of my daughter when she was adopted with her nanny holding her, and I showed the picture to the medical director or the director of the orphanage, and through the translator said, you know, do you remember this woman? Do you know who she is? And the director flipped out her cell phone, and in about a minute, the woman appeared. She still worked there,
and it was, oh my gosh,
it was clearly the same woman who was in the picture holding Carly when she was a baby, and it was just, it was a very, very special moment.
What an amazing story. I've got chills all over because I know that that moment is hopefully going to happen for us, for our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She's asked questions about her birth mother. She's asked questions about China, wanting to go to China. Now, she is seven.
Mm-hmm.
So do you find that there is an appropriate age, Dr. Schulte, for parents who are considering this? What's an appropriate age to go back?
Yes, I think that's a really great question, and I'm not sure there is an appropriate age. It really depends on, you know, the maturity of your child and sort of the situation around her adoption, if you know it, if you don't know it. Both of our cases, you know, as would be typical for most of the kids who were adopted in the late 90s and the early 2000s, there really wasn't much information known at all, and the paperwork all looks, you know, a bit standard. So those stories are a little bit easier to tell. Sometimes, you know, being careful about exactly what's said to the child, I think any time before maybe even 7 or 8 is really too early. The child just can't have that abstract kind of thought and certainly can't process. But you want them to enjoy the trip, and you want them to enjoy the trip with you. So taking teenagers is always a bit of a risk. And you know, we were very lucky that we had a great trip, and you know, the kids really enjoyed being there. And my other daughter was not able to go to her orphanage, but we traveled to her city, and we were able to spend a good part of a day there, and got a sense of the community and the people. But it might have been a little bit, you know, bittersweet for her. But because they were a little bit older, I think they were able to process that a bit better. So I'm not sure there's an ideal age. You know, we did not travel with one of these sort of groups that organizes that experience.
Okay. I wondered about that. Mm-hmm.
You know, I have my own opinions about those groups. But, you know, for some people, I think that's perfectly fine. And for other people, you know, it might not be such a great idea. So I think it's an individual decision.
Right, right. And I think that I'm not sure if what the status is in terms of these children changing their mind. For example, you know, my daughter Maya, who is 7, who's like really, she would have her bags packed in a minute and be at the front door ready to go if we said we're going to China right now. Mm-hmm. She may change her mind when she's 13. I actually have a friend who has 2 daughters. One of them is older. The other one is a crib sister of my daughter. What I mean by that, I think you know, but for the listeners, what I mean by that is they were in the same orphanage. Not only were they in the same orphanage, my daughter and 2 other babies were in the same crib. So there were there were 3 in a crib. So these girls actually happened to live in Kansas City.
And
so they are crib sisters. We call them crib sisters, and they are sisters. And so the family that I'm referring to, they have 1 older daughter who's 14, 15. She wants nothing to do with China. She doesn't want to talk about China. She wants nothing to do with China. And her little sister, who is my daughter's age 7, is excited about going back and excited about all of that. So it seems to me like, as you said, it's very specific to the child and their needs, and certainly not something that you want to force on anyone, because it's a big trip.
Yeah, right. It is a big trip. And for a lot of kids, it's about taking a big trip, you know, which is different from school, and it's different from summer vacation. You know, it's something really special. But again, you know, even at 7 and 8, I think it's really difficult for a child to imagine what it might be like to be, because as you know, it is a completely different culture than what most kids are used to living in.
Yes.
And, you know, parents just need to be sensitive to all those things.
Right,
I just think it's really hard for people to know what it's going to be like until they experience it.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks so much for sharing that with us. That's just fascinating. And I know that if folks have questions and that type of thing, they can certainly invite you or ask you. In the few minutes that we have left in this first segment, I'm just curious about your timeline, because you were involved. So you said you adopted these girls when they were little. So had you already been working in international adoption before you pursued the adoption yourself? Help us with the timeline. Have you been
sure.
Doing
so
this
I was a young faculty member at Albany Medical College in Albany, New York, and I was working, spending a lot of time taking care of children in foster care for the county system. And this was in the early 90s when China and Russia had opened their doors. And in Albany, there weren't a lot of places for people to bring their children for pediatric care. There was a large adoption agency in the city of Albany. So there, all of a sudden, there were families who had children who needed to be cared for. They brought them to the medical center because they thought that's what they should do. Nobody really knew much about these children at all. And because I had some experience in foster care, I was attracted to these families. And so I started taking care of them. And then within, you know, 2 or 3 years, we decided to create our family through adoption. So I went through the experience myself, came back. And after the second one, I realized, you know, parents really need a lot of help getting ready, because this is an experience, again, that you cannot understand until you have it. And, you know, wouldn't it be great for me to start an adoption program? There, at the time, there were only a handful in the country. I am a primary care provider. So, you know, I had an outpatient pediatric practice, and it just made great sense. I helped the folks beforehand during travel when they came home, and then they just joined my practice. So,
yeah, that's great.
Long run.
Yeah, well, it's fascinating. And we do have to take a break. We're going to be right back. More information and just some fun questions to ask Dr. Elaine Schulte, who is the chair of the Department of General Pediatrics and medical director for the International Adoption Program at Cleveland Clinic Children's Hospital. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
Your nonprofit is unique. It's because of your passion and commitment to making the world a better place. At Holly & Associates, we share in your passion by providing specialized insurance products to adoption agencies around the world. Like you, we do one thing and one thing only: social service. Our knowledge of adoption is what sets us apart from the rest. We are dedicated to protecting your organization with the right insurance coverage at the most affordable price. Call us today at 1-800-914-9135 or at hawleyandassociates.com. Pure religion is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. James 1:27. Embraced by Grace is a nonprofit agency located in Central Florida, providing children and family services. We currently process domestic and international adoptions, focusing on the 6 to 16-year-olds, who are the most unwanted people group in the world. Our heart is to find a forever home for every adoptable child. To learn more, please visit us at embracedbygrace.org. Embraced by Grace, a place where hope and destiny meet.
Join your adoption coach and other adoption experts at Joint Council's 38th Annual Child Welfare Symposium in San Francisco from April 7 through 9. You'll hear from the world's top adoption doctors, including Dr. Elaine Schulte, addressing the first year's home with older adopted children, and the always funny Dr. Julian Davies, a Q&A session with the U.S. Department of State, and a special town hall meeting with Council on Accreditation. We'll have everything you need to know about pre- and post-adoption. Learn more at symposium.jointcouncil.org.
Beacon House made our dream come true.
Beacon House Adoption Services is celebrating 24 years of bringing loving, adoptive families together. We are a Hague accredited, COA approved, full service adoption agency that has finalized over 5,500 domestic and international adoptions. Beacon House is the only agency offering the adoption finance coaching system, helping you raise the money for your adoption. For more information about adoption, call 1-888-987-6300. Or visit our website at www.beaconhouseadoption.com. That's 888-987-6300.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union. On approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
Thanks so much for staying with us. I'm Kelly Ellison, Your Adoption Coach Radio. We want to do a special call out to our sponsors, Beacon House Adoptions, America's Christian Credit Union, Holly and Associates, and Embraced by Grace. If you're interested in sponsoring our show, it's a very affordable way and a great way to connect with adoptive parents, professionals, and others who are touched by adoption. For more information about becoming a sponsor or partner on our show, you can reach me at youradoptionfinancecoach.com. That's youradoptionfinancecoach.com. So we are back with Dr. Elaine Schulte, Medical Director, International Adoption Program, Cleveland Clinic, Children's Hospital and Pediatric Children's Institute. If you want more information about the International Adoption Program at the clinic and the Children's Hospital, you can go to my.clevelandclinic.org. That's my.clevelandclinic.org. Dr. Schulte, thanks so much for being with us today. You are going to be a speaker at the symposium when it comes up, and we'll talk about that in a few other, in the next segment, I think, and what you were just sharing with us before we left the break was just your amazing story of your daughters and kind of going back to China and helping them to reconnect with their orphanage and those types of things. And your experience in creating this, you've been working international adoption since 1995. You actually created the International Adoption Program for the Albany Medical College. So now you're at Cleveland Clinic, and what types of services does the clinic offer for adoptive families?
So I've been at the clinic since 2007, and we started an international adoption program here shortly after I arrived. And actually, the program is really available for anybody who has questions or issues about any type of adoption, including domestic adoption, open adoption, or adoption through foster care. But we're talking about international adoption today, so that's what I'll focus on. So the program provides pre-adoption consultation, and that can be done pretty much anywhere in the world. There is another website through the Cleveland Clinic called eCleveland Clinic. It's an opinion service where folks can register with their questions, with their medical reports, with pictures, laboratory reports, whatever information they have. If they're interested in an opinion or a consulting me, they use the eCleveland Clinic service, and I make myself available to folks for up to a year if they're interested. And we usually communicate either by phone or by email, and that includes travel support. So if families travel overseas and to adopt their child and they have questions or problems, they can contact me for help. It includes, again, all that communication. And then if the families are local to Northeast Ohio, or if they just want to come and see me anyway, I'm happy to see the children for post-adoption evaluation. And if I'm really lucky, I get to follow the kids along in my primary care practice, which is right here at the Cleveland Clinic. And in addition to the primary care services, nowadays, since many of the children have special medical needs, we are able to offer all subspecialty care for the kids who need the care. And then sometimes there's children who come with unknown and unexpected medical problems. So we, right, you know, have a full range of subspecialty services here.
Right. And I want to go back to the pre-adoption services and just share a little bit of my own experience with this. You know, when we did our adoption in 2007 was when we traveled, about the same time that you were doing this, actually. Mm-hmm. And that was a big question for me. My mother happens to be an RN. Mm-hmm. So, that was just a natural thing. I wanted to take her with us because obviously she's the nai-nai or the grandmother. And, my biggest fear was that we were going to get our daughter and there was going to be a serious medical condition that we were not prepared for. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, in the travel group after us, which was our travel group, we were expedited, but in the travel group after us, there was a child who ended up being, hearing loss, a severe hearing loss that mm-hmm. they had not detected. I don't want to suggest that they were trying to deceive the family. I don't think that that is ever, ever the case. Mm-hmm. But they had not detected this hearing loss. So you said travel support. Tell us about that. Would that have been a situation where they could have maybe called you or got a consult on the phone with you? I think we were nervous about that when we were traveling.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And, you know, those types of services are available, you know, if somebody, then that has happened to me many, many times where people don't think they need the consult. They get over there and then there's a problem and, you know, hurry up. What do we need to do? And again, I've been through this myself, so I know what it's like. I know how hard it is to find help. Even nowadays in, you know, the major cities and the major hotels, people speak English, but it's not the same, and you want to be able to talk to somebody who understands exactly what you're going through, who can provide medical advice. And again, these children, you know, even though they're young and they're probably going to be okay, you don't know that. You don't know anything about their history. And, you know, another part of the pre-adoption consult that I think is so important is having a conversation about exactly that, their pre-adoptive history. What kind of circumstances have they been living in? What are they used to? How are you going to transition them from an institution to a hotel and to home? And, you know, when your new baby decides that they don't want to eat for the first 24 hours, is that because, you know, they have a stomach virus or because they're grieving or, you know, four or five other reasons that you can't even think of. So, you know, when I experienced this myself, watching parents, you know, go through this, I really felt it was an urgent thing, you know, a need that I could, you know, fill and help people.
Right. Well, it is urgent. And I will say, just as you're talking about it, I'm reflecting on this is not an issue now, but it was an issue. My daughter had an inner ear infection. Mm-hmm. And when we were in China. And I want to just say that, you know, I want to help people really understand, because I don't want to scare a lot of people about international adoption. You know, if your agency is going to give you someone over there that's going to speak the language, that's going to help you navigate the system, political system and paperwork and all of that. But as you're saying, Dr. Schulte, there are issues here that if there are medical issues, it's kind of, you're kind of trying to figure out what to do and where to go. In our particular case, as I said, our daughter had an inner ear infection. We did not know this until like the third day after we had received her. We only knew it because my mother suggested that maybe there was a problem because she was crying so much.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience, we went to the clinic and the experience was pretty intense experience,
mm-hmm,
at the clinic. And I won't go into the details, but they were kind to her. They took care of her. It was all fine, but it was a very intense experience for myself and for her especially. And what happened was there was trauma that came out of that.
Mm.
And we had a hard time when we got back to the United States going to doctors. We had a hard time. Whenever she would see anybody in a white coat, especially a woman with black hair and a white coat, she'd have a meltdown. And I had not connected that. And I finally connected that and we finally got some services for that. But as you said, there is a great need for this type of travel support when you are traveling. A question that I have about this is that, do you find when you're working with families, are there some common, can we know some common things before we go that just doesn't, you know, level us when we get there? Because it's such a highly emotional experience. Are there any common medical issues that from certain countries that we need to know about?
Yeah, that's a great question. And just to reiterate, it is a highly emotional experience. I always tell people you are going to be exhausted, even if
yes,
you're in the best physical condition and you're a young you're a young parent, even if you're an experienced parent and you know you have a better sense of what might be going on, it's very, very, very stressful. So,
yes,
you know, you're not always thinking your best, you're not resting as well as you should, you're not eating like you typically are, and all those things can affect the way that you relate to this new baby. So always keep that in mind. You know, common things are common, and whether, you know, you're whatever part of the world you're traveling to, if you're adopting a child who's lived in an institution, they've been with other children probably in close contact, and it's not surprising that, you know, one of the most common things that happens is that kids are sick. They have upper respiratory tract infections. Sometimes, you know, there's some GI issues, but most of the time it's upper respiratory tract stuff. And these are children that you've never fed before. So
right,
that can be very, very challenging. So, you know, we spend time talking about feeding transition, and we also spend time talking about sleep transition. That's, you know, one of the things that the parents are most worried about is, you know, is the child going to sleep? Is he going to take a nap when he's supposed to do? And so we spend a lot of time talking about, well, what's realistic and what's not. You know, we also talk about just transitioning environments in general, and they have to be very sensitive in terms of overwhelming the child. We talk a lot about trying to keep things as similar as they can possibly be. So same foods, same clothing. You don't have to, you know, take the child's clothes off immediately and bathe the child. The child probably has never been anywhere near a bathtub or a washcloth. You know, you just don't know those sorts of things. And
right,
the only thing that's familiar to the child, literally, are the clothes on her back. So we just talk about making these very gradual, slow transitions into a new environment. Other medical issues, sometimes the kids have issues with rashes. Sometimes those are related to insect bites. Sometimes they're related to just, you know, malnutrition and unhealthy skin. Some of the Asian kids tend to have more dry skin that just needs some moisturizer. So those are the medical issues
that
are common.
Yeah, very good. That's good. So, again, it goes really quickly. We have to take another break, but I hope that you'll stay with us. We are with Dr. Elaine Schulte, who is the Medical Director, International Adoption Program for the Cleveland Clinic. The website is my.clevelandclinic.org. I'm Kelly Ellison, your adoption coach. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah! If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Beacon House made our dream come true.
Beacon House Adoption Services is celebrating 24 years of bringing loving, adoptive families together. We are a Hague accredited, COA approved, full service adoption agency that has finalized over 5,500 domestic and international adoptions. Beacon House is the only agency offering the adoption finance coaching system, helping you raise the money for your adoption. For more information about adoption, call 1-888-987-6300. Or visit our website at www.beaconhouseadoption.com. That's 888-987-6300.
Join your adoption coach and other adoption experts at Joint Council's 38th Annual Child Welfare Symposium in San Francisco from April 7 through 9. You'll hear from the world's top adoption doctors, including Dr. Elaine Schulte, addressing the first year's home with older adopted children, and the always funny Dr. Julian Davies, a Q&A session with the U.S. Department of State, and a special town hall meeting with Council on Accreditation. We'll have everything you need to know about pre- and post-adoption. Learn more at symposium.jointcouncil.org.
Pure religion is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. James 1:27. Embraced by Grace is a nonprofit agency located in Central Florida, providing children and family services. We currently process domestic and international adoptions, focusing on the 6 to 16-year-olds, who are the most unwanted people group in the world. Our heart is to find a forever home for every adoptable child. To learn more, please visit us at embracedbygrace.org. Embraced by Grace, a place where hope and destiny meet.
Your nonprofit is unique. It's because of your passion and commitment to making the world a better place. At Holly & Associates, we share in your passion by providing specialized insurance products to adoption agencies around the world. Like you, we do one thing and one thing only: social service. Our knowledge of adoption is what sets us apart from the rest. We are dedicated to protecting your organization with the right insurance coverage at the most affordable price. Call us today at 1-800-914-9135 or at hawleyandassociates.com.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back. I want to do a call out for the Joint Council on International Children's Services, their 38th Annual Child Welfare Symposium, happening in San Francisco, April 7th through the 9th. We have with us Dr. Elaine Schulte, who is the Medical Director, International Adoption Program at Cleveland Clinic Children's Hospital and Pediatric Children's Institute. Dr. Schulte is going to be a speaker at the conference, and so we're featuring a couple of keynote speakers from the conference on our show, just to give you an idea of what to expect. The symposium is open for adoptive families, adoption professionals. It's supposed to be a really great time in San Francisco. They are taking late registrations until March 24th, and sponsors include Adoption.net, Gladney Center for Adoption, Spence Chapin, Children and Family Services, and of course, your adoption finance coach. So I hope you'll check it out at jointcouncil.org. So before the break, we were talking a little bit about this whole idea of pre-adoption services that are provided, and you had suggested the e E-Clinic, E-Cleveland?
E-Cleveland Clinic.
Mm-hmm. E-Cleveland Clinic, and that is a resource in providing travel support. And as I'm listening to all of this, certainly years ago, Dr. Schulte, and of course for you as well, but it brings back vivid memories, vivid memories of our experience. And you used a word, transitions. And I want to really go back to that for a moment, because I don't think anybody really understands the importance of transitions. And as a parent now, when we arrived home with our daughter, up until even today, she has issues with transition, with making transitions. We make transitions slowly here.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, I will tell you that that the transition from what we found to be very important was that transition from the hotel to home.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks, I called it on the break, 2 weeks of play. It was literally a bubble of play for 2 weeks that we were in this gorgeous mm-hmm. hotel in China. So do you talk to your families about those transition periods and how to really, you know, take that slowly and really understand the importance of that?
Yes, and what I like to do is ask parents, new parents, to think about the environment that their child is currently living in. And many times people don't know what that's like. They may have heard something or read something, or somebody else has told them what it's like, or they may have even seen a picture. But we talk about that environment and what is it like for your child living in that environment. It's usually pretty noisy. It may be too cold. Sometimes it's too hot. Sometimes, you know, the children are overdressed and they're uncomfortable, but they can't do anything about it. They don't have a way to get their needs met when they have to be met. So they learn to accommodate for that in a variety of ways, depending on the child's personality and their temperament. They just may be completely, you know, ignorant. They may not faze them at all, or they may be always hypervigilant, looking for somebody to help them and never having their needs met. So we try to help parents think about what their child might be going through, and then what is it going to be like in the hotel room? Well, you know, the minute that child looks one way, she will have at least one pair of eyes on her immediately. Her needs will get met in a microsecond, and it's so totally different. The room temperature will be comfortable. She'll be able to move all over the place, but maybe that's something that she doesn't like. Maybe that's something that she's not used to. It'll be so quiet you could hear a pin drop because you want your baby to go to sleep in a nice, comfortable crib. That may be totally foreign to her, and it may completely freak her out because it's so quiet. But, you know, the sad thing is we don't know any of that because, you know, as infants and toddlers and, you know, preschoolers or even school-age children who don't have English, they can't tell us what they want. And even if they could, they probably don't know because as kids who've been, you know, neglected, they haven't learned those sorts of things. So it's a big guessing game. And, you know, new parents, just as any new parent have to be, you really have to be a detective. And you have to be a really good observer. And I always advise that new parents take it slower than you typically would. And, of course, all that any new parent wants to do is stimulate the heck out of these kids and love them to death and feed them, you know, more food than you could possibly imagine. And sometimes all of those things don't work.
Right.
And it's very distressing for new parents if no one's ever suggested that as a possibility. Now,
well,
sometimes all those things work great. But
yeah, often, yeah. You're so right about all of these things, and I ask about this over the break in terms of, you know, certainly there's no one at fault here, but I would have wished that our adoption agency or our social worker may have cued us in a little bit more on those things. Is there any more education that can happen on their end in terms of helping families to anticipate these types of things?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, the good news is, yes, I think agencies and social workers are much more informed. You know, in the early 90s, there were only a couple hundred kids who were coming out at any one period of time. So people just didn't know. And we assumed, you know, love and food would fix everything. And it was only after, you know, years of experience here that we realized, no, this is wrong. You know, this is not the way to go. And, you know, because agencies are in the business of helping, you know, families and children, they are not necessarily so tuned into, you know, unique medical and psychosocial needs of the kids. So I think, you know, the wonderful news, Joint Council on International Children's Services, is that's exactly what they do as an organization, is they bring professionals to these symposiums to educate adoption agency personnel and social workers. And these are exactly the types of things that we've been talking about for many years. So I think people are much more informed now than they used to be. And, you know, as you know, all these folks are very well intentioned. Nobody, you know, means to keep information away from parents. It's just, you know, I think it's just a function of time and experience.
Right. Right, it is. Well, I want to shift for a moment. We're going to take a break in about 3 minutes, but I want to shift and let you start talking about your program at the Joint Council. You're going to be talking about, your topic is the international adoption of an older child. We've kind of been talking about infants, you and I have, because obviously that's been our personal experiences. So give us a few of the highlights, of course, without giving it away.
Sure.
A few of the highlights of what you're planning on talking about.
Right. And, of course, I think to start out with, the reason why we're talking about the older child adoption is because that's what's becoming more popular. It's more and more difficult to adopt an infant or a toddler. And it's much more popular now to adopt an older child and or a child with certain medical needs. So I think this is why we've shifted focus. The agencies have asked us to provide information about this. So I'm going to be talking about adoption of the older child within the first year, things that we have to think about. And just like in the younger child, we have to think about developmental needs, behavioral needs, and transitional needs, but they're all a little different for the older child. I'm also going to talk about sibling groups. We've seen sibling groups come forever, but we haven't spent as much time thinking about them or talking about them. And they present their own unique challenges to families. And I'm also going to talk a little bit about age approximation. There are children who arrive from various countries, and, you know, one look at them and a conversation with them, and you realize they're either much older than their stated age or they're younger than their stated age.
And I had a member of the American Academy of Adoption Attorneys on the show about talking about that whole issue of age, the appropriate age, and I don't remember what the bill was, but how to allow people to go back and say, no, my child is not 7, they are 9, you know, to be able to do that, because it has long ramifications for a particular life of a child if they think they're in one grade or they're in another grade. So that has been very important. So we're going to continue to talk about this topic of international adoption of an older child. And again, I'm with Dr. Elaine Schulte, who is the medical director of the International Adoption Program at the Cleveland Clinic, Children's Hospital, and Pediatric Children's Institute. Very important to remember that if you have any questions at all, whether you're in Cleveland or you are outside, any questions at all, you can contact them. They'll be happy to help you. The website is my.clevelandclinic.org. That's my.clevelandclinic.org. And for information about how to meet Dr. Schulte and attend her workshop or her presentation, and also for information about how to go to the symposium, they do take late registrations until March 24th. You can go to jointcouncil.org. That's jointcouncil.org. We're going to be back with our last segment. More to come from Dr. Schulte. Stay tuned.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
Join your adoption coach and other adoption experts at Joint Council's 38th Annual Child Welfare Symposium in San Francisco from April 7 through 9. You'll hear from the world's top adoption doctors, including Dr. Elaine Schulte, addressing the first year's home with older adopted children, and the always funny Dr. Julian Davies, a Q&A session with the U.S. Department of State, and a special town hall meeting with Council on Accreditation. We'll have everything you need to know about pre- and post-adoption. Learn more at symposium.jointcouncil.org.
Pure religion is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. James 1:27.
Embraced by Grace is a nonprofit agency located in Central Florida, providing children and family services. We currently process domestic and international adoptions, focusing on the 6 to 16-year-olds, who are the most unwanted people group in the world. Our heart is to find a forever home for every adoptable child. To learn more, please visit us at embracedbygrace.org. Embraced by Grace, a place where hope and destiny meet.
Beacon House made our dream come true.
Beacon House Adoption Services is celebrating 24 years of bringing loving, adoptive families together. We are a Hague accredited, COA approved, full service adoption agency that has finalized over 5,500 domestic and international adoptions. Beacon House is the only agency offering the adoption finance coaching system, helping you raise the money for your adoption. For more information about adoption, call 1-888-987-6300. Or visit our website at www.beaconhouseadoption.com. That's 888-987-6300.
Your nonprofit is unique. It's because of your passion and commitment to making the world a better place. At Holly & Associates, we share in your passion by providing specialized insurance products to adoption agencies around the world. Like you, we do one thing and one thing only: social service. Our knowledge of adoption is what sets us apart from the rest. We are dedicated to protecting your organization with the right insurance coverage at the most affordable price. Call us today at 1-800-914-9135 or at hawleyandassociates.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back again for our last segment with Dr. Elaine Schulte, who's the Medical Director, International Adoption Program at Cleveland Clinic Children's Hospital and Pediatric Children's Institute. See, at the end of the show, I can just rip that right off, and I know exactly how to say that. You can go and find information out with them at my.my.clevelandclinic.org. We're just learning so much today about international adoption, and Dr. Schulte is such an authority on this topic, certainly have worked in this area since 1995. So talk for a moment, if you would, Dr. Schulte, about, we often hear this comment, well, special needs in international adoption is not necessarily how we perceive special needs in the United States. I hear people talk about that all the time. When you look into international adoption as a prospective adoptive family, you'll have this conversation that has to do with the children who have, quote, special needs. Can you break that down for us?
Sure. It really depends on what period of time during the last 20 years you're referring to. When, you know, you and I, well, when I certainly adopted my kids when they were babies, they were considered typical kids. And then there were children who were special needs, and those were children who had special medical needs. As we learned over, you know, the first 10 or 15 years as the kids came out of China and other countries, they really all have special needs by virtue of the fact that they, you know, lived in institution and had suffered malnutrition and neglect. Now, nowadays, you know, children who are coming out of China, for example, have special medical needs. So those are children who are pre-identified as having a medical condition like a cleft lip and cleft palate. That's a very common special medical need that we say. But we do think about the kids now a bit differently than we would, you know, kids in the United States.
And they make it a point, I think, when you are talking with a prospective adoption agency about the time. I know that if you are looking to adopt a healthy baby infant from China, you know, you're going to wait a long, long time for that. I'm talking like 3 to 5 years. But if you're open to what they consider to be special needs or special medical needs, then the wait is a lot shorter. And I think that I have always felt that that was a very interesting difference between how they talk about that. And then also, one of the conversations that I've had a lot with adoptive families, prospective adoptive families, is understanding, not here, but really abroad, as it relates to international adoption, this difference between foster care and institutional living. And we can all kind of know what that is, but in some cases, they do have foster families in international settings, correct?
And yes, absolutely, yeah. They do. And again, to no fault of their own, I think, you know, if all orphanages had the ability, they would place the kids in, you know, foster care, but they don't. And, you know, there are many examples of orphanages in China that have foster families living on site. So they have apartment complexes on the orphanage complex that sometimes house elderly people who help care for the children. Sometimes they house parents who actually take the children into their apartments, and the children are their foster children, so they have the opportunity to live with a family. In other countries like Korea, the children are typically raised in foster care from very, very early on, right after birth, and they have one foster family. It's usually a mother and a father, and they live with them up until the time that they're adopted. And as makes, you know, common sense, I think, to most of us, it's best for a child to be raised by one or two parents versus living in an environment where you're never really sure who's going to take care of you, and you can't get your needs met when you need that to happen.
Right. But there is also a different approach to your parenting when you when you are adopting a child who has been in an institution versus a child who has been in foster care. In other words, I'm saying that's important information to know, and important information as you move forward in parenting your own child.
Right. That's very important to know. We anticipate that a child who's been raised in foster care with one or two parents all the time has probably learned how to attach and bond and trust. Good news, bad news is may have a transition problem because they may experience some really strong grief reactions that may not look like grief to you or I, but that's what's happening. Sometimes it happens right away. Sometimes it happens years later. Sometimes it never happens, and it's just very, very difficult to know. But knowing that your child probably had a strong attachment to a caretaker is a very useful piece of information.
Right. Very good. So we have about 3 minutes about 2 minutes here. And the last question that I have for you, and I want to just encourage people to go to the symposium in April in San Francisco to meet you and get a chance to hear your topic and your program, and also just get a chance to meet the rest of the folks that are associated with the Joint Council. What kind of advice what's your best advice to give a family who's considering international adoption today, those maybe considering an older child internationally?
Right. So my suggestion to anybody who's thinking about becoming a parent and helping a child is don't even think about it. Just if it's in your gut, then you go with it, because becoming a parent is absolutely the best thing in the world. And you will find a way to overcome whatever challenges or fears that you have if you just go with the love in your heart and wanting to care for a child.
Yeah, and there are a lot of wonderful, I will add to that to say that there are a lot of wonderful people there to support you, including Dr. Schulte, including your social worker, including your agency. There are a lot of wonderful people there to support you. We're so glad that you were with us today, Dr. Schulte. Thank you so much for joining us. A lot of information. Again, for more information about the services that the clinic offers, you can go to mymy.clevelandclinic.org. And don't forget to join me, your adoption finance coach, during the Lightning Talks on Tuesday, April 8th, as I discuss financing adoption in a rapid 5-minute presentation. Sparks will fly from my mouth as I talk about that particular topic. But that's going to be on Tuesday, April 8th. For more information about those lightning talks, you can go to jointcouncil.org. That's jointcouncil.org. So before we close, we want to talk about our financial tip from America's Christian Credit Union. Many adoptive families have to travel to bring their child, sometimes internationally, home. Automate your finances using online bill pay if you need to travel at the spur of the moment. That way, you won't have to worry about unpaid bills when you return. America's Christian Credit Union offers free online banking and free bill pay, as well as other products and services. America's Christian Credit Union is here to provide financial resources to Christians, including adoption loans. You can visit them at www.americaschristiancu.com. That's americaschristiancu.com. I want to thank you, Dr. Schulte, for being with us today. What a great show. If you'd like the show, if you have a suggestion or a story and you'd like to share that with me, you can reach me at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com or at my webpage at youradoptionfinancecoach.com. Next week, tune in again for another great show. In the meantime, enjoy spring.
We hope today's program gave you some inspiration as well as information about adoption. Please tune in next Saturday at 12 noon Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Your Adoption Coach on the Voice America Variety Channel. Thank you again for listening. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.